word is necrophilia.
They're quite normal people, just with different passions.
A woman cursed with a secret too terrible to reveal. Doomed to love only the dead.
Everybody, and welcome to episode 29. I think it's episode
29. Yeah, episode's rolling by.
Of 13 O'Clock Podcast. Hope you guys are enjoying the show. We have seen that we've had some fans on our YouTube page. That's pretty cool. That seem to watch all our shows and seem to like them, and that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, the podcast is doing good, too.
Yeah, so we appreciate everyone's support. And if you like the show, I'll put a link to the Project Entertainment Network Patreon page. And they have shirts and stickers and buttons and stuff like that you can get if you give them a dollar or two a month. And, you know, there's a lot of other cool podcasts on their network as well. And I'm sure they would appreciate it.
Yeah, we were, you know, I kind of want to avoid monetizing this show, but I think we're probably going to monetize this show.
We are thinking about it.
It'll move us up in the algorithms. But what sucks about it is that they'll probably put commercials on it.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, we already put commercials on it because we have sponsors, but, you know. I don't know.
We'll see how it goes.
We're thinking about it. So, you know, don't get too bummed out. We don't know if we're going to do it yet. But anyway, so today we're kind of doing a morbid kind of topic.
Yeah. I originally wanted Jenny to call this this show Grave Rapists.
Yeah.
Instead of Grave Robbers, more like Grave Rapists.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure if any sex really happened with these two cases. One of them possibly.
Yeah.
So maybe that's not quite an accurate term.
Yeah. Basically, we're talking about two cases of necrophiliacs. Now, necrophilia, aside from being pretty gross.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of people know it like in context of like serial killers, because like a lot of serial killers were necrophiles, you know, Ed Gein, obviously.
Yeah.
You know, Jeffrey Dahmer, Edmund Kemper, I think even Ted Bundy.
Right.
Had some necrophiliac tendencies. But the thing about that is that, yeah, here's the thing. If you're already a serial killer and then you are also a necrophiliac, that it's just kind of like, you know, that's just kind of like the snot frosting on the shit cake. You know what I mean? Because it's like, oh, he's a serial killer. Oh, and by the way, he's also a necrophiliac because of course he is.
Well, yeah, they kind of do that anyway.
Right. So it's like, it's not terribly surprising. No. So I kind of thought these two guys' cases were more interesting because they're actually not serial killers.
Yeah.
And were actually kind of normal people.
Well, supposedly.
Well, seemingly normal.
A normal person doesn't do this kind of
thing. No. It's like seemingly normal people who just had some really interesting proclivities, let's say.
And one of them seems to be a necrophile. I think the other one is kind of in question, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's questions in both cases, but they're both super weird. And they're also kind of, these cases are also a little bit sad.
Yeah.
I feel like they're a little bit sad.
Tell us what the cases are.
Well, the first one we're going to talk about, because the second guy we're going to talk about is probably a lot better known.
Yeah.
But the first guy, I came across this guy when I was researching the other guy. And this was actually a pretty recent case. It happened in Russia. And his name is Anatoly Moskvin. And the interesting thing about Anatoly is that, like I said, he was actually a really well-respected member of his community. He was an academic. He had a PhD in Celtic studies. He was a linguist. He did all kinds of translations. He was like really well-known.
Yeah.
Done all these translations and stuff. He spoke 13 languages. You know, his colleagues and friends and stuff like that thought he was a genius, which he does sound like a genius.
All right.
But as with a lot of these kind of super genius people, also, usually a little percentage of crazy mixed in there too. I'm not really sure why that happens, but it does seem very common.
I think he had that autism, slightly autistic, maybe like Asperger's or something.
Now, yeah, he did kind of seem like that because he was kind of a loner, kind of an eccentric. He lived with his parents. He never married. He never dated. They think he might be a virgin.
Ooh.
But, you know, that's unconfirmed, obviously.
Yeah, and the guy's about 50 now. I think he was born in 66.
Yeah. Yeah, born in 1966. Now, he was also, aside from all of his academic activities, Anatoly was also super into cemeteries and death rituals and, you know, kind of mythology about death, like, across cultures. And to that end, he has written several papers and stuff like that on different cemeteries, like, around his area in Russia and all this other kind of stuff. So he's done, like, all this research. And he also would write for this, and I love that in this part of Russia where he lives, which is actually, I can't pronounce the name of the city, but it's like the fifth largest city in Russia. And they have a weekly newspaper called Necrologies that's just, it's about like cemetery lore and like famous people's deaths and things like that. And I'm like, that's kind of awesome that they have a weekly newspaper for that subject. But so he wrote for that, like, a lot. So him being...
he was all into graves and grave lore and history when it came to
and
funeral practices and stuff.
And as it happened, that's kind of how he ended up getting caught. Because in the area around where he lived, you know, there are a great deal of cemeteries and things like that. And the authorities begin to notice a lot of grave desecrations and, you know, bodies being stolen and stuff like that. So they initially enlisted Anatoly to help them figure out who was doing it because he was an expert. Right. Like, he had walked around to all these cemeteries, like, in a 700-mile radius and all this other stuff and was, like, wrote down all the dead people's names and kept track of all the graves and who was buried there and stuff. So they kind of enlisted him. They enlisted his help to find out
who this grave
was doing it.
How did they know that the graves were being robbed? Broken soil on the surface?
Yeah, it was broken. And plus, there were things missing off, like, sometimes, like, the metal, you know, the metal plaques, like, that are on some tombs and stuff were taken off.
Weird.
And things like that. So, you know, they asked him for his help, and he's like, sure, sure thing. Okay, but then they start delving a little bit more into the case. They search his apartment. They get suspicious because I guess he's acting kind of weird. They get suspicious. They search his apartment and they find that there are 26 life-size dolls in his apartment that are like dressed in these kind of colorful clothes. And, you know, they look like dolls. Right. You know what I mean? You can see pictures of them online. There's pictures of them all over the place. They just look like dolls. You wouldn't think anything of it. But guess what? Guess what's inside those dolls? Mummified little girls.
Yeah.
Mummified little girls. That's what's in there. Now.
And how many did he have?
He had 26 of them. Okay. Although they're not entirely certain, like, if that, because the original charge, the grave desecrations, there were over 100 of them. Okay. It was like 150 desecrations. So they don't know, like, if he stole that many bodies and if they were just pieces of the bodies.
Now, the grave desecrations, were they all little girls?
I don't think so.
Okay.
It didn't really specify. But all of the mummies that they found in his house were girls, like, between the ages of about 6 and 15.
Okay.
And so here's what he had done. He would go to a cemetery. Like, he was fascinated by death, obviously. He was also fascinated by mummification, like how you do it and stuff like that. And in his house, he had all of these notes and all this kind of stuff about how to mummify bodies. Like, he was learning how to do it.
Right.
And so he also had, like, maps of, like, all the bodies he'd taken and stuff like that. And so what he would do is he would go and, you know, and take the bodies. And for a while, he would just take them and then mummify them and then just kind of bury them, like, kind of back where they were, or, like, near his house.
So he'd just kind of borrow them.
Yeah, he would just kind of borrow them for a little while.
Right.
And then, you know, then he started bringing them back to his house and making dolls out of them. So, like, what he would do is he would mummify them using, like, salt and baking soda. Mm-hmm. And then he would kind of, like, you know, start wrapping them in clothing and, you know, like a mummified, like, bandages and stuff like that. And then he would dress them up. And then he would kind of, he covered their faces, it looked like, with kind of like nylons or socks or something like that. And then he would, like, paint faces on there, like, with nail polish and stuff.
Okay.
Some of them look like they didn't really have faces, but maybe that was just the pictures were crappy.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's just like this super creepy. And like I said, they also, yeah.
Why nail polish? Why not real paint?
I don't know. Maybe he thought nail polish would last longer because it was more of an enamel. I don't know.
Weird.
Maybe he liked the look of
they
it.
They don't look. They don't look too artistic to me. They don't look realistic.
They don't. They look actually. Yeah, they're kind of
amateurish.
They are very amateurish. Yeah. I mean, you know, he's working with a mummy, I guess.
Right.
But yeah. So he would like, and he would, you know, stuff them full of, you know, fabric so they would look like a person, and then
you stuff the abdomen up full of fabric
Man. Yeah, and then and then sometimes he would put like wax masks over their faces and put
I don't get when you turn a body into a mummy, doesn't it become kind of like beef jerky?
Yeah,
I mean how does it
I'm not sure how well his mummification techniques were working.
Stay flexible?
Yeah, I don't know.
You know what I mean? It'd be like carrying around a wooden statue or something.
Yeah, true.
Weird.
It is pretty weird.
Yeah.
Now, this guy, and I gotta admit, I mean, you know, it's super creepy to keep mummified little girls in your house, okay?
Oh, yeah,
I'm not
nuts.
Saying that.
Totally nuts.
He's nuts.
Totally nuts.
But I feel kind of sorry for him, too. Because, you know, obviously this shit's not right. And yeah. The authorities were like, okay, well, so they arrested him, right? In 2011. And, actually they just arrest him. It's, you know, desecration of graves, desecration of dead bodies, whatever, which is illegal. And, he would have got 5 years in prison, up to 5 years. But they actually did a psychiatric evaluation and discovered that he suffered from paranoid schizophrenia.
Huh.
Now, here's what he said. And he actually, shortly before he was convicted, he wrote an essay. And I believe it turned up in Necrologies, that magazine I was talking about earlier, but I could be wrong about that. Where he said where his obsession with dead bodies, and particularly the dead bodies of little girls, came from. He said when he was a kid, he was super into cemeteries, or either he was super into cemeteries or his parents were always taking him to walk around cemeteries. He was always in cemeteries when he was a kid. And he kind of had a fascination with them. Now, he claims that when he was little, he was at a cemetery and there was a funeral for a little girl going on in the cemetery. And somebody that was at that funeral, for some reason, pulled him over to the body and made him kiss the girl on the forehead.
Weird.
Like, kind of forced him to,
for some reason. Is that a Russian thing? I wonder if that's a Russian thing.
I don't know. Like, so I don't know if that's true or not, but that's what he said. And he said that's kind of what started his weird obsession.
Right.
Like, with these little girls. Now, it should be noted that, like I said, as weird as this is, there is no evidence that he was having sex with them. You know what I mean? So it wasn't like a, not fetishistic in that sense.
Right.
Mostly, his motivation was that he thought that the little girls, like, he felt bad for them, and he thought that because they had died so young, and he thought he was protecting them, and that if he preserved them, then they could be brought back to life with black magic, and that they would have their bodies there when they came back to life.
Okay. I don't know. You buy it? You think that's what the real motive was?
I don't know. That's what he said. And like I said, he was psychiatrically evaluated, and they said, yeah, this guy is not right.
Yeah, well, maybe.
And he said, too, that, I mean, because a lot of different graves, like I said, were desecrated and stuff like that. But he said what he would do is when he found out that a little girl had gotten killed, or, you know, that there had been a funeral for a little girl, he would go to that grave, and he would lay on it and listen. And he said, and if the little girl told me that she wanted me to take her out, then I would take her. It's like, but if I didn't hear anything, then I would just leave her where she was. So he thought that he was helping these little girls that didn't want to be in the grave anymore, and he thought that eventually they would be brought back to life. Which, you know, that's pretty sad if he really does feel like that.
That's weird.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But you know, that's why. He said that these little girls were calling to him, that he needed to save them.
Okay.
And now they said that he was aware that it was against the law.
Right.
But that...
But he had a higher purpose.
Right, exactly. He thought that saving these girls was more important than right. the law was. So, right. so, you know. Now, he also... I guess he was also bummed out because, you know, like I said, probable virgin. But he'd always wanted children.
Right.
And he didn't have any. They even said at one point he tried to adopt okay. a daughter. But they wouldn't let him because he was a single guy and he was too poor.
Right.
So, you know, they wouldn't let him adopt.
Weird.
So he was kind of bummed out about that. But, like I said, they don't know. It doesn't appear that he had sex with the, with these dolls. I'd kind of be surprised if he didn't, but
yeah,
you know,
I think he was.
He might have been.
I think he was a pedo.
They say he did hang out with them. Like yeah. he would like sing to them and.
Weird.
And actually, I think some of the other, like one essay that I read about it in Russia, the rumor was that he would put music boxes inside the bodies
uh-huh.
so that the dolls would sing
weird.
Back to him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
No evidence though of that.
No, I just read that, like that some Russians thought that.
Okay.
And apparently there's a thing now they're in that area of Russia where like if someone died and like you were having a funeral and it was like an older woman, they'd be yeah. like, oh, well, at least she's safe from Anatoly. Like yeah. he only takes little girls, yeah. which is, it's fucking awful, man. It's awful. It's just,
I wonder what it smelled like in his house.
See, that's what I mean.
Well,
the
parents didn't complain.
No.
They thought they were just dolls.
Yeah. Now, yeah, I do. I feel like he was like constantly like, probably soaking them in perfume and
yeah.
Febreze and all
I
that.
I have a hard time. You know, I've seen photographs of these dolls. I have a hard time. I have a hard time believing that the parents didn't think something was up.
They
when
probably
you see
did
that
think,
doll. You're
yeah.
like, man, that's a dead body.
Yeah, I don't know. It's like when I first saw them, I was just like, what the hell is that about? They do kind of look like. I mean. You know, they're a lot creepier when you
the
know.
Proportions of the bodies, it's obviously that's a skeleton or a body.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? The face doesn't look too good, but I would, man, you would think, you know, no, I don't know, man. So that's just so creepy. You got all of them there. You go like, this isn't right, man.
Yeah, you had like a whole bunch of
yeah,
them.
Yeah, this isn't right.
I mean, how big is this apartment is what I want to know. Yeah. Like, because they're saying apartment. I don't know how big the apartment is.
Right.
And like I said, you know, his parents live there too. You know, they were gone a lot. But obviously they were there sometimes. It's like, how close a proximity are we? I mean, Anatoly.
You can see in the photograph that it couldn't have been very big. I mean,
no, because the rooms look very
crappy.
Small. Yeah. And the rooms look very small. Yeah. And I mean, Anatoly looked a little bit like a hoard. He had like 60,000 books and they were kind of like all in stacks on the floor and stuff like that. Cause like I said, he was one of those like weird super genius kind of people, but also a total nutcase.
Yeah.
You know, but a sad nutcase. I mean,
so what happened to him?
He was eventually, you know, they didn't put him in prison because of his mental illness. So they actually put him in a psychiatric hospital. And I think every now and then they kind of review his case to see if we should let him out. And they're like, yeah, maybe not so much.
So he's still in there.
So he is still in there. Now, they only arrested him in 2011. So this wasn't a terribly long time ago.
Right.
But yeah, he still is in there.
Okay.
And I don't know. It's
gotta
just
protect the dead children.
Yeah, it's like that part.
It's just very suspicious to me that there are no little boys in there.
Yeah, that's true.
Just the girls.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. I guess that is pretty weird. I mean, like I said, I'm not gonna hate on the dude. It's like, and the weird thing, it's like he doesn't look like. I mean, because there's pictures of him online too, if you want to look. But he doesn't look like a weirdo.
Well, only a weirdo would think you could bring somebody back to life using science or black magic or something like that.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, he doesn't, like, sometimes you see, like, you know, necrophiliacs or serial killers and they're like, oh, well, yeah, obviously, because they look like that. But he doesn't. Yeah. He just looks like a normal dude, pretty much.
Okay.
But, yeah, so that's kind of scary. And, you know, I don't know. Like I said, I kind of feel bad for him. This whole, when we started, talking about doing this topic, the first thing I thought of, one of my favorite short stories, and you guys should look it up, is called The Death in the Family by Miriam Allen DeFord. Now, they made an episode of Night Gallery out of it, but the episode of Night Gallery is not quite the same as the story. Now, the story I read, I had it in like one of those Alfred Hitchcock anthologies that I loved so much when I was a kid. I still have it. I think it's probably up in the attic. But in the story, and it kind of reminded me of this because it was a mortuary attendant or mortuary owner who was like a lonely bachelor. He'd never, you know, had a family or anything like that. And he got the idea to start stealing bodies that he liked that were in good shape and embalming them and then setting them up like down in his basement. He had like this really nice basement all laid out with a fireplace and stuff like that. And he had like a whole family. And the point of the story, the, like the beginning of the story was that he gets a dead little girl dropped off on his doorstep by these kidnappers that had kidnapped her for ransom, and then they didn't get the ransom, so they killed the little girl, and then they dropped her off there. So he had, like, a big, you know, quandary about whether he should call the police or whether he should, you know, adopt this little girl into his dead person family.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, and that's, a, like, an old, that's from the 60s, that story. So, and also, I should note, too, that, see, this is what happens when you're researching a podcast like this, and you end up finding out all kinds of like weird facts that you didn't know. Like if you guys seriously go read the Wikipedia page on necrophilia, it's a hoot. Well, especially the section on animal necrophilia, because here is something that never occurred to me, that necrophilia is actually pretty common, like in the animal kingdom, which you wouldn't think that that would have evolved, I guess. Or that it would still be around, but it's actually very common. And not just, you know, oh, the, you know, a frog is like humping a dead frog that's like got run over by a car or whatever like that, which does happen. One frog went on for 8 hours, they observed.
Damn.
Humping this frog. And I was like, wow, I'm kind of impressed.
Damn.
Also.
Gotcha.
You can't go anywhere.
Yeah, gotcha. Okay.
Also, homosexual necrophilia is kind of common too. It's particularly among birds.
Birds, yeah.
Yeah, they'll and some of
jump
them
jump on a dead bird. Just
and some of them will kill another bird and then fuck it.
Damn.
Like a male bird will kill another bird and then fuck it.
Damn.
It's not like every member of the species does that, but it's a pretty significant percentage.
That's bizarre.
Yeah. I think it was on the Wikipedia page where they were talking about like a pigeon that was humping one whose head got crushed in the road and stuff like that. I'm like, man, animals are gross.
They just take advantage. Hey, it's free.
It's just laying right there, man. It's like, they don't care that it's like not going to lead to anything.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, it is.
They're going to use it up before it's gone.
Nothing goes to waste in the animal kingdom.
No,
nothing.
I guess not.
All right.
You got pictures of that too. There's a lizard.
Yeah, if you go on the Wikipedia page about necrophilia, I'm sure I'm on a list somewhere, like all these fucking Wikipedia pages I go to.
Yeah.
But although I'm not as weird as the person that had to write this, so I'm just saying. But yeah, there is a picture on here of a one of those big monitor type lizards.
Yeah.
Fucking a corpse.
They're ridiculous.
He seems into it too.
Yeah.
Weirdos.
Maybe they don't really know it's dead per se. It's just that it's not getting away.
Yeah.
Maybe
that's what
it is. Death. Yeah. I don't think they're not thinking about the death part of it.
Yeah, they're just thinking, well,
it's just laying there, so.
So might as well.
Yeah.
Might as well jump right on it.
Yeah, he's not resisting.
Oh, animals. All right, so it's coming about up to the halfway point, so we're going to take a break. And then when we come back, we're going to talk about the much better known case of Mr. Carl Tanzler.
He's something else.
Yeah, and I mean, there's been like a lot of stuff.
That's here in Florida, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
Okay.
The original Florida man.
Yeah, yes. Original Florida man.
The original Florida man. Sorry, you guys.
Yeah.
I'm from Florida. I don't know what the hell's wrong with everybody down here. But anyway, so we're going to take a break. We'll be back in just a minute.
I'm Captain Dallas Lee, and I'm one of them characters in the Curtain Jerks, Project Entertainment Network's pro wrestling podcast. Every Friday, Tokyo Tom, Florence, Steve Mensah, and the Viking, Superkick Pro Wrestling in the Hot Spot. Featuring interviews with the up-and-coming indie superstars that are stable and shoots while it works. You can only hear them on the Project Entertainment Network. Thank you very much. Remember the Alamo!
Subculture Corsets and Clothing is our favorite store for unusual clothing, shoes, and accessories. They offer a wide selection of men's and women's clothing at great prices. Subculture also offers a cool selection of shoes and accessories. Steampunk, gothic apparel, retro, corsets, and so much more at Subculture Corsets and Clothing. Check out Subculture online at subculturecorsets.com. That's subculturecorsets.com. Make sure you use the discount code 13 o'clock for a 10% discount. subculturecorsets.com, or visit their store in Jacksonville, Florida, just off I-95.
Project Entertainment Network presents Buttercup of Doom with your host, Kelly Owen. Just a girl who writes horror and thriller fiction, talks to bugs, jumps in puddles, and now hosts a weekly podcast full of opinions, advice, and a touch of gypsy wisdom. Whether it's current affairs or social media nightmares, join me as I rant and rave and offer up a big old bucket of common sense. Wednesdays on Buttercup of Doom.
Hollow Earth, graphic design by Jenny Ashford. Specializing in posters and flyers. Special rates for bands and artists. Quick turnaround times. Books and CD covers. Consultations through email or Skype. Logos and packaging. Payment through PayPal. Ads and promo materials. Satisfaction guaranteed. Visit the Facebook page at Hollow Earth Design or email hecate80@hotmail.com.
Okay. Yeah. Necrophiliacs. Now we are talking about the case of Carl Tanzler.
Original Florida man.
The original Florida man. Yeah. I'm sure there were some before that. I'm sure there's been Florida man before there was even a Florida. There's something in the fucking water down here.
Look how debonair this guy's trying to be.
He is fucking debonair. Yeah. Well, he's not, I mean, he's not actually from Florida. Like, a lot of people aren't. I am. Yeah. But, you know, a lot of people aren't. He was actually German. He was born in Germany. And he moved here later. Now, he's also known by Carl von Kossel or Kossel or Count von Kossel. He's not a count, but whatever. He thought he was the shit, I guess.
I guess so, yeah. He was the count.
Yeah. Also, kind of a respectable dude. Now, the weird thing about Carl Tanzler is that I don't think that he had, well, if he did have like necrophiliac tendencies prior to the, you know, the one incident that made him famous, he must have kept him way on the DL because I don't think there was ever any hint that he was up to anything like that.
Okay.
But, but again, he seemed like a fairly normal dude. He was a radiologist.
He kind of looked like a Mr. Peanut.
A little bit, yeah.
You know that peanut that with the spectacles
with the top hat. What's that fucking thing called?
I don't know.
I bought you one.
Yeah, Mr. Peanut. Yeah, a monocle.
A monocle. There you go. Why couldn't I remember that word? I don't know. But so Carl Tanzler, he moved to Zephyr Hills, Florida, and he had a wife and kids at the time.
All right.
But then, for some reason, he decided he was gonna leave the wife and kids in Zephyr Hills, and then he moved to Key West.
All right.
And he took a job in the Marine Hospital there. Like I said, he was a x-ray tech, or a radiologist, rather. Now,
it was probably a separation. But, you know, back in those days, they kind of kept that stuff on the down low.
Yeah, yeah.
Basically a divorce.
But yeah.
I'm sure of that.
It might have been. Now, they had two kids. One of the kids died at 10 years old, I think, of diphtheria. And the other one lived, but, you know. But I don't think he moved here until later. But like I said, he seemed like a fairly normal dude, right? So he moves down to Key West. He takes a job at the Marine Hospital as a tech. And then in 1930, this woman comes to the hospital for treatment. She's 21 years old, and her name is Maria Elena Milagro de Hoyos.
Okay.
She comes in with her mother. Now, she has tuberculosis.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, which, you know.
That was almost deadly. That was almost always deadly back then.
Pretty much, yeah. In 1930, it was. So she comes into the hospital, and Carl Tanzler sees her and is immediately in love.
Yeah, and he's an old guy at this time.
Yeah, he was fairly old.
Well, he was 60.
Yeah, he was a lot older than her. Yeah. Now, the interesting thing about why he immediately fell in love with her was that he claimed that ever since he was young, he had been having visions of, and dreams about this distant relative. And this distant relative told him that his soulmate was this particular girl and showed him in his dreams what this girl looked like.
Right.
So evidently, when Maria Elena walked into the hospital, he said, that's her.
Yeah.
That's who I've been seeing in my dreams all this time. And she and I are meant to be together.
He made that up. I bet you he made that up.
Right, but I'm just saying, that's what he claims anyway.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he must have, like, really fallen for her hard because there's some pretty fucking weird shit happened after this.
I think he saw her, thought she was hot, and then he did what he did. And then afterwards, when he got caught, he had to make up an explanation. Oh, you have to understand this. You know, I was... My ancestral spirits were telling
it
me
was,
that.
Yeah, just like the other, just like Anatoly, just sort of trying to, like, there was a higher purpose.
Right. Yeah, he
and,
made that up.
Yeah, and there are, like, some other similarities, too.
They're just trying to justify necrophilia.
Yeah, true. Now, okay. Elena was, which was what they called her usually. Like I said, she had tuberculosis. Now, Tanzler was not a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
But he decided that he loved her so much and he was going to treat her, right?
Okay.
And so the family were like kind of okay with this because he seemed, you know, genuine and he seemed like, you know, he was all into her and stuff like that. And he would pretty much, I mean, essentially it sounds like he was stealing like x-ray equipment and stuff like that for like from the hospital and like bringing it to their house.
Wow.
To like, to treat her at home.
Wow.
And he was giving her, and he was giving her like all these, you know, medicines and things like that. And he also kept professing his undying love for her. He brought her presents. He brought her jewelry.
While she was alive.
Yeah, while she was alive.
Okay. I wonder how she responded to this.
See, there's really no record of that.
She's probably indifferent.
Yeah. She was probably just kind of like, whatever, old guy. Thanks for the necklace or whatever. It's like, there really, like I said, there really isn't any record of that she was all into him too, or, you know, she had tuberculosis. She probably wasn't thinking about.
She's 20.
Yeah. And she was 21 years old, like I said. She probably wasn't thinking about, you know, romance
getting it on with
at
some
the
old
time.
Dude, yeah.
Right. So, you know, even after, you know, all of his, you know, efforts on her behalf, she still died because it was tuberculosis.
Now, I wonder if his treatments, you know, if they're, you know, first of all, he's practicing medicine without a license. He wasn't really able to do that. But I wonder if he was using the best treatments of the day or if he was just pulling out his ass, just making it
up. I don't really know. I mean, like I said, he did have some medical knowledge because, like I said, he was a radiologist. So he probably kind of knew what he was doing, I would imagine.
Maybe he was doing as well as anybody else could have done.
That's what I mean, because tuberculosis was almost always fatal in 1930. So, you know, it's not... It's probably no, you know, mark on his medical knowledge that she died because she probably would have died anyway.
Yeah.
But, she ended up dying more than a year later. It was in 1931 in October. And Carl Tanzler, he paid for her funeral. He constructed this huge, mausoleum.
Yeah.
You know, there's pictures of it. It's like a really big, you know, in thing in Key West Cemetery.
He had money.
Yeah, he wasn't poor, I guess. But, and the family was, like I said, again, the family was okay with this.
Right.
So I'm not sure, like, maybe he didn't really come off as creepy to them because they really, I mean, they seemed to give him every, you know, they didn't really be like, no, that's okay, or, you know, back off or anything like that.
Right.
I mean, you know, yeah, I guess it's cool that he's paying for her funeral and they don't have to do it and all this other stuff. But I don't know. At first, I think they didn't think it was creepy.
Right.
Even though to us, it seems kind of creepy.
Yeah.
Because it's like, you know,
What happened next?
So he paid for the mausoleum, right? And he started visiting the mausoleum.
All right.
Every night he would go and sit by it.
Okay. Now she's sealed in there though, right?
Yeah.
In the crypt inside the mausoleum?
He had the key.
He had the key.
Yeah. He was the one that had it built.
A lot of times when you walk into the mausoleum, though, the coffin is like in a crypt that's sealed into the wall. You know, usually concrete or something.
Well, see,
Here's Was it like thing. That? Or did he have access to the casket itself?
See, that's what, well, he must have.
Right.
Because, see, here's the thing. Since he paid for it to be constructed, I'm assuming...
They did it to his specs.
That they did it to his specifications, and he was thinking
ahead. He's in there molesting that body.
Well, I don't know if he molested it while it was in there.
Right.
But he would visit it for a while without taking it out. Okay. You know what I mean? He would just go and visit her.
He's in there letting it cook.
Get
nice and rotten.
Oh, man. And then, apparently, after a while, and this was like a year and a half later, he decided that he didn't want to go to the, you know, to the mausoleum anymore, and he wanted her by him all the time.
Take her out of there. Now, he hadn't done any preservations or anything on her.
Not at this point, no.
She was just, I guess, embalmed.
Yeah. Yeah,
which that'll keep them
kind
of intact, but they decay anyway.
They do, yeah. And like I said, this was a significant amount of time later.
Yeah,
okay. Right, a significant amount of time. Yeah,
bad.
I know it is. So he goes to the cemetery with a toy wagon, and I know a radio flyer, whatever. I'm assuming. I can just picture it. I can picture the scene.
Little Mr. Peanut down there with a toy wagon.
With it, yeah.
Yeah, with a penchant for necrophilia.
Oh, God. Yeah.
God.
So, here's the thing. Much like Anatoly in the first part of this show, Carl claimed that when he would sit by the mausoleum and, you know, and hang out with his dead girlfriend, that she would talk to him and that she kept telling him, get me out of here.
Yeah, so it was all consensual.
Yes. Yeah. Which is,
it's all consent. The dead can consent. Sure.
Yeah, they ghostly told me.
Sure.
They ghostly told me. Yeah, so, you know, he used to sit there and sing to her and she said, please, please, Carl, take me out of here.
I don't buy a word what these dudes say.
So, yeah, so he gets the toy wagon and he, you know, takes her body out and takes it back to his house.
Yeah.
Okay. So, once he gets the body back to the house, obviously she's not in that great a shape.
Yeah.
So what he does is he puts the bones back together with like coat hangers and like twisted wires and stuff like that, like reconstructs it.
Oh, so she was falling apart?
Well, yeah.
Damn.
Like I said, it had been a year and a half.
So she was like something out of The Walking Dead at that point.
Yeah, she was like a zombie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This dude's nuts, man.
I know. And like I said, it just seemed weird that he had never done anything like this before, or that they know of. Maybe he did and they just never caught him. But, you know.
Maybe that's why he separated from his wife.
Yeah, maybe she's like, maybe she found his stash of like necro porn or something. Did they? I wonder if they have necrophiliac porn in 1930. I'm sure they
did. No, I don't think so.
You don't think?
I doubt it.
They had some pretty
rough. I don't think they have it today.
They had some pretty, yeah, they do.
They do.
What are you talking about?
People pretending like they're dead?
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's a fetish too. That's like, that's like kind of a separate fetish. It's just people that like to pretend they're dead.
I got you.
It's very rare for people to actually be in it, but there are some. There are some. So yeah. So, you know, he puts the skeleton back together with wire. He puts glass eyes in there because that's not creepy at all. Because I guess she didn't have any eyeballs left, I would think. And, you know, obviously the more rotten she got, she would, or Carl rather would put like would kind of patch her up with silk. Like he had like this silk cloth and he would soak it in wax and plaster.
Yeah.
And then so he was basically making a paper mache over her rotted flesh.
Yeah.
Now, here's one of the weirdest things to me, right? Like for the hair, because obviously her hair had fallen out and started falling out. So he made a wig. Now, he made a wig out of her actual hair because her family had given him her hair. Like, after she died, like, given him some of her hair. Because I guess he asked, and they were like, okay.
Wow.
To me, that seems like a very strange...
Yeah.
I mean, like, if... I don't know. In a way, that almost kind of suggests that maybe she did kind of love him back because
I don't know.
If it was just some rando or just your doctor or something like that, and after she died, and then like this guy comes up and is like, hey, would you mind terribly if I took some of your dead daughter's hair?
I think
they're all like, yeah, no problem.
I think the parents were just desperate for medical treatment for the daughter. They're going to put up with anything to get some free medical treatment, you know, in an attempt to save her. That's probably
maybe. It's just, I don't know. That seems really weird to me because I'm sitting there going, and it's funny because most of the stories about, you know, most of the things that are written about this, they don't even really comment on that. Oh, he made a wig out of hair that the family had given him. Yeah. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
Let's unpack that a little bit.
Well, they considered him a friend of the family.
I guess. But still, I would think, even if I had a friend of the family and somebody died and they asked for the hair, I'd be like, bro, no. All right. That's fucking creepy. Stop it. But yeah, so he's kind of paper macheing his dream girl back together, you know, filling her up with rags and stuff like that. And now he kept her in his bed.
Yeah.
Okay. And he kept spraying perfume on it and deodorants and things like they didn't have Febreze back then, but you know, that type of thing. To mask the odor. Which that doesn't work.
Oh man.
Dead people smell is like the worst thing ever. It's like, can you imagine what his fucking house probably smells like? Oh my God. But, so now some reports say that he put a paper tube.
Yeah.
Up her veg.
Yeah.
For nefarious purpose.
Yeah.
And
it had evidence. I think it had lips on it and everything like that. So he could have sex with it.
Oh my God. Now see, it would surprise me very much if he wasn't having sex with it. I don't know if the paper tube was really there or if that just kind of came about later.
God.
I mean, the fact that he was in love with her and that he's keeping it in the bed and stuff like that. I'm kind of... Are you going to need a shower after this?
Are you
gonna
this need is nasty.
I know. It's horrible. But, so apparently he got away with this for quite a while. She was in his house until 1940.
So how long are we talking about?
And that was like, that was like 7 years, right? Yeah, because I think he didn't take her body out of the grave until 1933.
How did he get discovered?
Well, evidently there were rumors going around. I heard that a little boy in the neighborhood had walked by Tansler's house and had seen him dancing with what looked like a doll, like a big doll. Like he was dancing around his living room with it in his arms. And also the family were suspicious when he stopped visiting the mausoleum, too. I mean, he had stopped visiting that a while before, but then I think this, her sister, Florinda, like kind of put two and two together and was like, I don't think she thought that he had stolen the body necessarily, but, she maybe wondered, you know, what the fuck does he have like a life-size doll of my sister? That's super weird. And so Florinda, I mean, for her, you know, in her defense, I mean, she went right to the house and was like, what the fuck, bro? You know what I mean? What's going on? So, she went to his house.
The sister heard rumors that he was sleeping with the disinterred body of the sister?
Yeah. So it,
Where those rumors came from?
That's what I mean. Like I said, I heard that a little boy had seen, like, it was like, why is he dancing with this big doll in there? So I think people kind of started putting two and two together. And they knew, I mean, it's kind of a smaller community, so maybe it was kind of getting around that he was obsessed and, what a freak he was. And maybe the smell, maybe it smelled really bad. I mean, you know how that smells around there. So, so the sister was like, you know, arrest this freak. And they did. And they did find the body in there. Now, Carl Tansler, they actually did give him a psychiatric evaluation, obviously, as you would. But they thought that he was competent to stand trial. So, you know, he had a hearing. It's, you know, for just removing a body without authorization, destroying a grave, yada, yada. Now, he ended up getting released because, one, the statute of limitations had expired. On the crime, because it's not, I mean, you can look, like I said, on Wikipedia and necrophilia.
Just grave robbery.
It's, now it's a felony in some states, but in others, it's just a misdemeanor.
Okay.
It's usually not like a super big deal.
Right.
I mean, as long as you didn't kill the person or anything like that. Yeah, it's nasty, but you know, you're not hurting the person. So, and the odd thing too is that in the community, there was actually kind of a lot of sympathy for him. Because it was kind of like, oh, it's a great love story. It was kind of like romantic, morbid.
I think they were reading into it.
But romantic, naive. But at any rate, you know, he actually got off. Now.
Oh, he got off, I'm sure.
In more ways than one.
Damn.
I know, I walked right into that, didn't I? Yeah. That was good, though. You picked right up on that. Now, here's the thing. Okay, Carl Tansler, Right, a creepy dude, right? But I have to say that the surrounding community of Key West, maybe not much better, because after her body had been taken out of his house, they put the fucking body on display in the Ripley's Believe It or Not Museum.
Yeah.
Or not, you know, or they put it in a museum.
Yeah.
For people to come by and look at it. Dean Lopez Funeral Home, rather. Ripley's Believe It or Not Museum in Key West actually has a fake setup of it, because it's kind of a famous thing that happened in Key West.
I'm getting ready to walk out. Walk out of this show.
Why?
I've had all I could take. This shit's nasty.
He's like skeeved
out. This shit's nasty. And you know, it's making my skin crawl.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna have to take a shower after this.
So
this is some shit you come up with. This is how you are.
This was your idea to do Carl Sands.
You're relishing in these details. This is like something out of one of your horror novels.
I know. I love this shit.
Yeah, I know.
She writes stuff
like this.
Yeah.
In her horror novels.
I love this shit.
I don't understand. I can't stand it.
This is why I can never get him to watch like true crime shit with me and stuff.
No,
like
I don't
that.
Like any
it's
of that.
Like, yeah, see, no. I love that shit, but he can't watch it. But, yeah, so like I said, community, not so much better. They put the body, like the paper mache fucking body. They put it on display in this fucking funeral home, and almost 7,000 people like came through to see it. And I'm sure they probably fucking charged
it. So she gets raped when she's dead, and then they pimp her out when she's dead. That's what I mean.
It's like not much better, you guys. Not much better. Okay. Nope. And so like, yeah, there was like a big sensation in the media. It was like crazy, and like all these people just thought it was super romantic and all this other stuff. And you know, like I said, he didn't go to prison or anything like that. But you know, here's the thing. So he got off and, you know, I guess he just went on and had the rest of his life. He actually wrote an autobiography, which I don't, you know, I'd actually love to read that. It was in the magazine Fantastic Adventures, which was like a pulp publication. Now, his ex-wife, here's another thing that's weird. His ex-wife, Doris, or I guess, I don't know if they were still married, but they were separated because he had left her in Zephyr Hills years before. But she supported him, like, for the rest of his life. So, I don't know, whatever. And he had a death mask of Maria Elena, and he made it like a life-size doll that he kept until he died.
Right.
So, yeah, he had a life-size effigy of it. So he had basically a sex doll. It just didn't have a rotting corpse in it anymore, which I guess is marginally
better. Maybe he should have gone that way the first time.
Exactly. It's like, why didn't he just do that from the start? Then that would have been weird, but not...
Be a lot more sanitary.
That too.
This shit's nasty. This shit's nasty.
I'm sorry.
It's just being nasty.
I'm so sorry.
I'm getting mad at this show.
Why are you getting mad?
I'm getting mad at this episode.
You getting mad?
Yeah.
I told you this was your idea.
Ugh, this is gross, man.
It was your idea to do Carl Tanzler.
I'm just trying to get through another show. Just trying to come up with another show. And this came to the top of my head. I said, maybe the audience will like this one. Now you're picking through it. It's fucking... Oh, it's gross.
And this is why, like, he specifically told me, because sometimes, here's how we do the show. It's like, sometimes we'll come up with, you know, we'll come up with a topic usually at the last fucking minute. And then I usually do all the research for it. Now, sometimes, depending on what the topic is, sometimes I'll kind of read him some of the research and stuff like that.
Something I already know.
Something he already knows about.
Sometimes it's better not for me not to know. That way I can react to it kind of like the way the audience would react to it.
Yeah.
You know?
Which was the case in this show, because I've been, you know, that's how I spent most of my weekend researching necrophilia. So I'm just sharing some of the fun with you, see?
It's nasty.
I know, but see, like I said, I've been reading this shit for 2 days. You've been sitting here for 1 hour. Okay. And he specifically told me not to tell him.
Yeah.
Because I started telling him about the animal necrophilia thing, because I thought that was super fascinating.
I didn't know about that.
I thought that was super fascinating that, like, birds will, like, sit there and hump a dead bird that got hit by a car.
Man.
I'm like, that just fucking cracked me up so much.
There's so much wrongness in nature.
There is.
It's just like, to exist is to be wrong. That's how bad some of this stuff is.
So like I'm saying, so necrophilia in humans now, it's like, it's still creepy and weird, but now it's like, it's not as weird anymore because I guess fucking animals do it too. So it's not really that surprising.
Damn.
But, you know.
There's something wrong with that, man. Those animals don't know any better.
That's true.
They just see something there that's their own species and they jump on it and they go, wait, it's not fighting. It's not running. you know.
Awesome. Yeah, I'm just going to keep on humping.
Yeah, I'm going to keep on keeping on. I don't think they realize that it's dead, you know. I don't think they really realize it's dead, do they?
Oh, man. Maybe they do. Maybe they're into it. You don't know.
Yeah. Hey, this one's free. It's free.
That's what I mean. I think it's more opportunism.
Yeah.
But anyway, the case of Carl Tanzler actually kind of struck a chord in popular culture. There's shitloads of like songs about him and stuff like that. I think and You Will Know Us by the Trail of Dead. They did a song about him, yeah. And you know, they did like fucking. There's a band called the Black Dahlia Murder that did a song about him, and you know, there's lots of other ones. And like I said, the Ripley's Believe It or Not Museum in Key West. Which I don't know if it's still there now, like, because we live pretty far from Key West. We live in Orlando, but, you know, they used to have, you know, a thing of Carl Tanzler and Maria Elena, like him preparing her corpse or whatever. So I guess they had like a little fake thing of that. I don't know if it's still there or not. But, yeah, so necrophilia, you guys, here's the interesting thing. Like I said, and since I had to read about necrophilia all weekend, now you have to hear about it too.
Are you going to start talking about this again?
Yeah.
Damn.
Well, yeah, because we still have a couple minutes of the show.
Okay.
But out of all the people that have the necrophiliac fetish that they've studied, they broke it down into like percentages of their motives, mm-hmm. right? The overwhelming majority of them, 68% as a matter of fact, their whole motivation was... for an unresisting partner.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's that is the, by and large, the greatest motivation. And then down from that, 21%.
Because they're so nasty that a living person would resist them.
Yeah, that's what usually happens. Yeah. Well, see, that was another thing that I kind of found fascinating about these two guys is they weren't like repulsive or anything like that. Like they weren't repulsive looking. They weren't like, you know, they just looked like normal dudes.
Weird.
They just, you know, their brains were just broken. But, you know, the next one down, 21%, it's because, you know, their spouse died or whatever, and they still want to maintain connection, which I guess is the most understandable. Only 15% genuinely attracted to dead people.
Oh,
only 15%. So if that makes you feel any better, that's not that many people. And, you know, and then there's a smaller percentage that, you know, they have low self-esteem, which I guess probably all of them do, but they have low self-esteem and they want to, express power over a dead person, which seems dumb to me because I'm like, the dead person doesn't know that you're expressing power over them.
Yeah. Well, one thing that matters is them.
Yeah. They can't express power over living people. So yeah. But yeah, so, hopefully you guys enjoyed the show much more than Tom did.
Because... No, I didn't like this show at all.
But as again, and I'm going to repeat that this was his idea.
Okay, yeah. This was true. I take the blame for it.
Yeah, I came up with the Anatoly angle because I discovered him while I was researching Carl Tanzler.
I could kind of handle that one, you know what I mean? Because chances, he probably wasn't really having sex with him, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
he was making dolls out of him. But you know this second dude.
It almost seemed like a...
I want to talk about it anymore.
Like he was like a father figure.
I'm walking out of the show.
No, you can't. It's not over yet.
I'm not walking out. Walking out.
This is the first time this has happened on the history of 13
o'clock. This is gross, man. I'm leaving. This is gross, man. I don't want to talk about it anymore.
Well, I have to do the M part now.
Okay.
I'm not talking about it anymore.
Do the M part.
I'm not talking about it anymore.
Okay.
I promise I'm not talking about it anymore.
I'll come back.
I promise I'm not talking about it anymore. This is hilarious.
No, man, I don't like that.
Man, now that I know that this is how you're going to react, now I'm going to purposely look for the grossest shit I can find. Because it bothers me, but not...
No, just the more you keep talking about it, the more I think about it, the worse it is. You know?
Yeah.
Like, oh, God,
I have like a really dark sense of humor.
That's nasty.
Like, see.
That's just nasty.
So this stuff, like, it's not exactly funny to me. I mean, I guess it kind of is, but I don't know.
It's Wrap it up. It doesn't bother me that much. Just be quiet. Wrap it up. keep trying to bring it back. You keep trying to bring it back.
Okay.
And dig into conversation. I don't
why don't you do the end part so you get your mind off it?
No, you do it.
Yeah, he doesn't even remember what it's supposed to say.
No, I'm disoriented.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Man, I didn't know I'd have that much effect on it. Okay.
Weird.
Well, anyway, like I said, hopefully you enjoyed this show more than he did.
Yeah.
And if you like the show, please head on over to the Patreon of the, what, now you're messing me up. Yeah. The Project Entertainment Network Patreon. That's what I meant to say.
Yeah.
Go to their Patreon page, which is patreon.com/projectentnet, and give them a buck or two. That's who hosts our audio version. And if you like our YouTube channel, you know, you can go over there and follow us over there. Follow us on Twitter, 13 O'Clock Podcast. We have a Facebook page, 13 O'Clock Podcast. Also, we still have t-shirts. I still just have the 5, but we're going to do other ones. Maybe I'll do one for this show. Okay. And Tom will not want one.
All right.
But, so, you know.
Stop bringing it up.
I have to bring it up one more time because I have to say for our musical interlude at the end, this was the first song I thought of when I thought about this topic. Mm-hmm. We got to do typo negative, okay? So we're going to put some typo negative on the end.
All right.
So anyway, well, we will see you guys next Tuesday. Bye.
This has been an exclusive presentation of the Project Entertainment Network.